Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, girl.
You guys, it's Daisy's school vacation week. We're taking the week off because I actually have to go and, like, focus on my parental duties this week.
Yeah, and because Daisy says so.
Right.
Let's get real about it. I mean, because she calls the shots.
Nobody wants me to end up grounded. Please, guys, please. I don't want to get grounded. Be cool.
Yeah, and just so you know, Mike is offering his FaceTime time if you need some help on how to be scared properly, because I know that's the new thing, and Mike really commits and fakes a heart attack every time she says boo.
Yeah.
And apparently, not many people can do that.
I'm telling you, Daisy and Mike have a connection that we never understand.
Mike's the best friend.
Oh, Daisy, Mike, and Grover, you
That's
guys.
That's how it is.
Three musketeers.
Yes, the three best friends that anyone could have. Mike, Daisy, Grover.
You guys, we didn't want to leave you hanging. We wanted to replay one of our classic eps this week. So we thought we would do Mommy, Dead, and Dearest. It's like totally a fave. Everybody loves this one.
Yeah, and we did it a while ago, and now like every streaming service has some show about it. Like Hulu has something, Lifetime has something. So it's like all about Mommy, Dead, and Dearest again.
This has TV movie written all over it. Marcia Gay Harden, you guys.
I know.
Marcia Gay Harden, I think, is in the Lifetime one. I'm obsessed with her.
Yeah.
Academy Award winner.
I know. And Patricia Arquette is in the Hulu one. Like, come on.
It's out of control. You guys, on Patreon this week, so we're taking a week off from our regular feed. The Patreon feed is going crazy. This week, we're releasing the video of our recent live show. And we're releasing it not just in video form, we're also releasing it in podcast form because people wanted that last time.
Amazing.
Yeah, check it out. It's hilarious. I come out in a full 1970s, like long hair, ridiculous costume drag. It's sort of stupid and it took me like 5 minutes to get that costume off. So enjoy the episode, you guys. Check out our Patreon feed. If you just need like more of Jillian and me and TCO this week, you get like 70 episodes as soon as you subscribe. You'll also get this video of our most recent show, the video of our last like show, our very first show ever. Check it all out, you guys. It's there. You guys, we need to jump right in.
We have so much to talk about.
We're talking fast because we're drinking Crystal Light with caffeine.
It's really good.
It actually is really good.
She says with her eyes bugged out. I'm like, it's really delicious. Do you have any more? Is there more Crystal Light anywhere? Great.
Today, we're talking about Mommy, Dead, and Dearest, which is not Mother, May I Sleep with Danger.
Which you want it to be so bad.
We'll get into this on another episode, but I was obsessed with Tori Spelling's book, Storytelling, and I actually...
Wait a second. The name of her book is Storytelling?
First of all, it was a huge bestseller. It's kind of genius, and... Tori Spelling was like the queen of the Lifetime movies. It's like a whole thing in her book. She's like one of the first TV actresses to get producer credit because she was in so many of them. And it's a good thing because her dad did not leave her a penny.
Really?
Maybe like $200,000.
Wow. Out of all of that, all of that like sleazy high school sex money.
Looking at the open ocean now. And it's beautiful.
Gypsy was in a wheelchair. She had leukemia. She was having seizures and she had to be tube fed.
And then gradually, that story fell apart.
Things are not always as they appear.
How do you kill your own mother?
This is a tragic event surrounded by mystery and public deception.
People thought of us as the sweetest mother, daughter, best people in the world.
Hi, Jillian Pensavalli.
Hi, Patrick Hines.
We're somber.
There are just a lot of feelings.
I know.
It's not just somber. It's a lot of confusion.
All right. Mommy, Dead, and Dearest. This is the case of Gypsy Rose Blanchard, who's the daughter of Claudine, who goes by Dee Dee Blanchard. So Gypsy was probably born on July 27th, 1991. We say probably because we don't really know.
The reason that is because Dee Dee didn't want Gypsy to know how old she was, always wanted her to be a little kid, and it's frightening how much that worked.
Gypsy just, like, never knew. Like, her mother told her she couldn't walk, so she, for her, the early part of her life, she believed that she couldn't walk. And
for 14 years, she was in a wheelchair.
Yeah, and her mother told her that she'd had leukemia, mm-hmm. and that she had...
She needed a feeding tube.
A feeding tube, that she was mentally retarded, that's the word that they use. Mm-hmm. I know we're not supposed to use that word anymore. Mm-hmm. And Gypsy pretty much believed all of it. I mean, you know, ultimately she knew she could walk, but she also knew that she could never let on that she knew that. If you're coming into this movie knowing nothing, what's happening right at the top of the documentary?
Yeah, you see this girl being told that her mother's been murdered, and she's shocked about it.
Your mom's dead, okay? Now, what I want to ask you your mom's passed away, okay? And she's deceased.
But then, like, you also see this guy who's her boyfriend, like, in another room, who's, like, fully admitting to the murder.
With just, like, yeah, no, I did it. I'm admitting it right now.
The truth is, okay, I'll admit it. I did actually stab her. I will admit it.
I know. Okay.
And then the cop is like, uh-huh, yup.
Yeah, we know you did it.
Yeah.
And then it cuts back to Gypsy, and she's like, you know, the guy who's interrogating her, if he called her sweetheart one more time, I was going to lose my mind.
I know.
Listen to me, okay, sweetheart? You know what happened to your mom. Okay?
But he was like, I know that you were...
I know that you know that we know that you know that we know. Like, he did one of those.
And Chip is like, slow down. It's been a rough couple years.
I mean, my...
I can't
follow
this.
It's been the worst... I mean, it's the worst life. It's a terrible life that she lived.
Yeah. But it's complicated at the top because you see her being like, my boyfriend was so in love with me. And he's like, I only did it because she asked.
Yeah. We're instantly getting conflicting stories from these people who are, if I may...
Yeah.
Not the most reliable.
Well, we do find out later that he has Asperger's.
And he's autistic.
And she, you know, has had a horrendous, horrible life. And she has, like, a second grade education.
And she has been kept very childlike her whole life.
And I think the reason we're seeing the conflicting stories is because they never thought this through, you know. And we'll get into their story more later. Mm-hmm. But, like, they committed this murder so they could be together is what we're told.
Right.
But like there's no thought of like getting away with it. These are not like savvy kids. So that's kind of like where the movie starts.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that stood out to you is like, we sort of start to understand the degree to which this is crazy when we see the first home video. And can you please tell the people what you wrote?
Okay. So I wrote, now we see Gypsy Rose and her mother 6 years earlier. Yeah. Now we're going back to know the history. Then I wrote, Gypsy Rose is in a wheelchair. She is singing, I Am Nauseous.
I believe there are angels among us. Sit down to us.
The whole thing is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, Gypsy sounds crazy. She looks crazy. Mm-hmm. Her mother looks crazy. Everyone's clapping.
And, like, I don't know where they are or, like, why she's singing.
And as a viewer of this documentary, you've just seen this girl who, in the interrogation room, does not look sick.
No.
You know, she looks like a normal, like, scared kid. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, 6 years earlier, she literally looks, I don't know, I literally don't know what the right words to use
she
are.
She just looks like a sick
like a
person.
Really sick.
Like a sick kid who you would see... who, of course, is getting all these trips to Disney World. And, of course, because they did.
Is, like, living in a Habitat for Humanity house because she's probably dying.
Yes. I mean, she looked the part and she played it really well. Now, whether that was all Dee Dee.
Right. Whether she was complicit and was playing along or whether she was just, this is all she's known her whole life. That's kind of what the documentary is about.
Yeah.
So where are you going today?
I'm going to Children's Mercy Hospital to see my dentist for my
and we'll be back.
So the documentary sort of jumps all over the place in time. I think in order for people to understand what we're talking about, we're going to go a little bit more chronologically than that, right?
Yeah, I think it's just easier to understand if we do it that way.
So let's start with the dad.
Rob,
whose accent is ridiculous.
He has this really thick Cajun, like, eat your heart out, Harry Connick Jr. Like,
still ask the question, how do you kill your own mother? I mean, there's got to be a reason. There's got to be some abuse there. You don't.
I also, like, the first time we see him, he's, like, on a pontoon boat.
Of course he is.
Like in the bayou.
He's in the, of course.
I was like, we're going to take a cinematic moment.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's so like, he is exactly Louisiana bayou. It's right. Just, I mean, it's
like
almost.
At one point he's making fried catfish.
I mean, I'm sure it was delicious. Cause when you're, that's a local.
Right.
Making it. Oh, come on.
One of the things that stood out to me was like in the beginning, he's talking about a conversation he has with his own mother mm-hmm. in the wake of finding out that Gypsy has killed her mother, his ex-wife. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
He immediately makes the point that you don't kill your mother unless there was a real good reason.
I said, for me to think about killing you, I said, you'd have to done some pretty bad stuff to me.
He's kind like, of. Mom, I wouldn't kill you unless you did something real bad.
Yeah, there's got to be abuse involved.
Right.
And it's like, he's kind of right. There's something about it that's like, absolutely, like to be driven to kill your mother.
But I'm also like, okay, he's a very complicated character. We're just to assume that their marriage didn't work out. He's moved away or he doesn't live in the same house as them. And he's being told all the time that she's got all these problems. And I'm like, you never went to the doctor with them. You never called the doctor to follow up. You never asked Gypsy how she was feeling. I mean, one of the most heartbreaking things I saw in this documentary is there's like a, it's either like a gymnastics class or like a dance class where the kids are like standing there. This is like a home video. There's like these 4 or 5 year old girls like standing there and Gypsy's like lying on the ground.
Yeah.
Gypsy. Over here, baby.
Because she thinks her legs don't work, even mm-hmm. though she knows they do.
Yeah.
I mean, did you have any reaction to that?
Oh, I it was heartbreaking to me that this little girl was trapped in so many ways, physically, mentally, emotionally. I mean, yeah. The fact that she couldn't say, I mean, when they say that they were holding hands all the time and Dee Dee would squeeze her hand if she said too much, or she would say, Gypsy says, you know, current day Gypsy, they would go to the doctor and Dee Dee would say like, and remember, your legs don't work.
Oh my God. Here's a Barbie for you to play with, 23-year-old. Pretend
exactly.
You're really into it.
Right. So, I mean, at that point, when it's all you know and you're told from, I mean, the dad was saying that at 3 months old, Dee Dee was saying she has sleep apnea.
Right.
And it's like, you know, it's just.
I want to say again, that like, I know the dad becomes a much, I know the dad feels awful now, but that wasn't clear in the beginning of the documentary. And that was the thing I was having the hardest time with, was his sort of like, yeah, it was awful. I didn't know, you know, I wish I could have been there, but I wasn't anyway, you know.
Yeah. You know, he tried to call her and wish her a happy 18th birthday.
Dee Dee said, don't tell her she's 18. You know, I'm like, what you mean? Don't tell her she's 18. She doesn't know she's 18. It's her 18th birthday. She don't know she's 18. She's, you know, I thought it was weird. You know,
red flag. Like, this didn't raise any questions for you.
And his new wife, Christy, you could see the red flag. She's like, I know, you guys. I know. Like, I know.
She's like basically twirling her hair and like, this dumbass.
Because she is also, I guess, involved enough. I mean, they're going through all these old photos and trying to piece together the timeline of the illnesses and the photos. And the photos are all of Gypsy in actual hospitals, like not staged hospitals, like real IVs, real hospital beds, a real feeding tube that had to be replaced every 6 months.
She looks like she would be 10 and 11, and she was probably like 21, 22. I wonder what she was thinking.
So this is where they start cutting in like an interview. The filmmakers have done an interview with Gypsy now. And A, she looks great. And B, it's sort of like cut through out. She's in like a prison jumpsuit. She's obviously like in handcuffs.
Uh-huh.
But she's got a lot to say. And this is where we start to hear.
The first thing she says, by the way, is that she hasn't been fully honest with her attorneys.
Oh my God. She thought that was hilarious.
This is actually kind of the first time I've been honest. Besides being honest, you know, with my attorneys. Even that, I haven't been completely honest with them. So.
And then she describes Dee Dee as, like, she's asked, how would you describe your mother? And the two words she chooses are unique and overprotective.
I mean, I used to always think that maybe she's a little overprotective. And so if I had to say one word about her, it would be overprotective.
Right.
And I'm like, also psycho.
But it also, like, I mean, I think that if nothing else, that helps us to understand her frame of mind.
Right.
You know, that she still hasn't fully processed what has happened to her.
Yeah, it's a mix of Munchausen syndrome and Stockholm syndrome a little bit.
One of the things that was like really effective, but they kept doing it over and over again, was that they would cut to a picture, like Dee Dee's wedding photo, and the music would be like, bah.
Yeah, like, we get it. She's the evil character. Right, totally. She's the villain. There's no argument. She is the villain.
Settle down, HBO. We get it.
Yeah. It's like she needed when the local news has like the tragedy has its own music.
Yeah, totally.
It's like, we get it. We get it. She's the villain.
Also, when she was being like walked in for her like coming out ball.
What the hell was that?
And this time we'd like to present to you South Lafourche ROTC military queen, Miss Claudina Pete.
And you can kind of sense like everybody hates this person, right? Like even in the home video. And of course, like, isn't it always the way that when there's a true crime situation, there's like hours and hours and hours of home video footage? I don't have like a single, like, I don't, like, I don't know what they're going to play for me in my documentary when I get murdered.
You're never
going to
kill anybody.
Or get murdered. So I'm like, I think there are like some adorable little like video when I'm like,
it would
a
have
kid.
To just be a podcast.
It would just be foot like audio of me talking about Hamilton.
So as we're progressing through, I feel like the next big character we meet is her public defender. What is his name?
Mike Stanfield.
He is like the one voice of calm reason in this whole bizarre documentary.
Nobody wants to believe that something like this can happen. I think the initial reaction is that, you know, Gypsy's been lying to everybody. But when you look at the backstory, when you look at how we got here, this all started long before Gypsy would have ever had any type of say in what was happening.
Yeah, he's like on our side.
Totally.
And he's the voice of the viewer where it's like, I don't understand how she can be in a hospital.
Oh my God.
100 times from 2005 to 2014.
At one point, he's like sitting across the table from the dad and the girlfriend. It's like each one of these paperclips indicates a spot.
Some medical record where Dee Dee essentially lied to the doctor about something.
And the public defender is the first one to introduce us to that one doctor.
Right.
What's his name?
Dr. Bernardo Flasterstein. Who at first...
Can we just mention that that's a cartoon character's name?
Absolutely.
Flasterstein.
Yeah. Bernardo. So Mike Stanfield keeps bringing up and this new information that almost every report is history by mother, from mother's information. So she was also, depending on who she went to, what kind of doctor, she would like cook the books on her own history. Right. If they went to a cardiologist, then she really all this heart disease in the family. If they went to something else, like, she would just do that. Dee Dee, this is.
Yeah.
So at first, Dr. Flasterstein has like no time for her. He writes things like, mother is not a good historian.
Which is interesting because he puts that in bold and underlines it.
When the public defender is pointing that out, he's like, this is unusual. Like, but then Flasterstein,
like, is just like, well, it's hard to, this is the thing that really, like, because he said so many things that made a lot of sense, like talking about Munchausen by proxy and what that means.
Analyzing all the facts, and after talking to a previous pediatrician, there's a strong possibility of Munchausen by proxy, with maybe some underlying unknown etiology to explain her symptoms.
The reason he claims he didn't report this to social services is because technically, now I don't know if this is part of the system, and it's a very flawed system, but Dee Dee wasn't really neglecting Gypsy.
She was over-treating her. We have a system, which is a big integrated system, that decided to adopt her and bring her, support her. So many people looking at her, knowing the history, knowing what she was going through, knowing what she went through, I would have been rejected at the spot. So all what I could do is put that in my note. Nobody in the system ever said anything about it. And I didn't see it right to keep going and convincing other people, something is not right here.
He said that if he called social services, he'd be rejected because of what Gypsy had been through. Kind of like, how are you, like, this, of course her mother is overprotective. She has leukemia and blah,
blah,
blah.
But the thing about it is, like, make no mistake, he is clearly onto her. He is diagnosing Munchausen by proxy. Yes. I feel like as a doctor, you can make enough noise to save this kid's life. And this is the thing that the BuzzFeed, you know, the bouncy BuzzFeed reporter says eventually. She's like,
literally everyone failed her. Literally. The doctors who were positioned as there to help her didn't help her. Her father, who I think was in a very difficult position, couldn't help her. How was she supposed to think anybody could?
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
All right, should we take like a deep dive into Dee Dee's family?
I mean, I think we have to. There's no other diving to be done. We just have to.
Because the coronation ball thing that I mentioned earlier, that's like the lead off. And you're right. Like they show, it's almost like in slow motion and they like pull in on her face. And it's like, wow.
Yeah. And she's like, isn't this the greatest day ever? And everyone around her is like, we're forced to be here. It's like a family obligation thing that we have to do, but everybody hates you. Okay, so we meet Dee Dee's nephew at the tattoo parlor.
Dee Dee was my aunt.
Luscious lips and like the weirdest face tattoo.
Who could not care less, calls her evil right off the bat. Right.
An evil person, I would say, you know?
A real weird girl.
Real weird girl.
And a sick individual. He's like, oh yeah, like she was insane.
But I'm not going to make any noise about, like, her daughter, who clearly needs us all to save her life.
Yeah, and he says, like, when he found out she was murdered, it was like, what did Dee Dee do now?
I was like, who did Dee Dee piss off now? You know, what kind of shit did Dee Dee get into?
Then we also see Dee Dee's dad and stepmom. Like, dad's Cajun life is the sign outside their front door.
Is it really? Yeah. Totally missed that.
And, like, their blue little... It's, like, so perfect for a documentary to film in their, like, kitchen or wherever they are,
because
the floor is like this gorgeous blue color,
right?
But then you're like, you live there? Like, who lives in a house like that?
Yeah. And we learn almost immediately that they have like there's no love lost for Dee Dee, which is another tragic, heartbreaking thing that her own father like really couldn't care less about.
I mean,
the fact that she's murdered.
I think what's tragic about that is the fact that there were so many people who saw the warning signs, mm-hmm. and just should have, like, part of this too, listeners, is that I'm a foster parent.
Right.
You know, like, we adopted our daughter through foster care. I know that it doesn't take that much to get a kid removed from a home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How did all of these people who have knowledge of her poisoning her own mother, stealing money, you had a list of what?
Yeah, Dee Dee was opening up credit cards, making bad checks. Apparently, America's Most Wanted was looking for her.
That's insane.
And she poisoned her nephew's stepmother.
Right. And like refused to feed her own mother until she died.
Right. And then even her cousin Emma says, it was just another person that we meet, she's like, was Dee Dee involved? Like, I never thought about that, but maybe Dee Dee was involved in the death of her own mother. And it's right. like, well, when you starve somebody,
right, exactly,
and don't care for them when they're an elderly, sickly person.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then, you know, when the dad, like, eventually starts talking about who was it who was in possession of the ashes.
Yeah, some family member was just saying, like, oh, like,
had Dee's ashes.
Like, what do we do with them?
And what did the dad say?
Let's flush them.
Everybody said, I don't want her. I don't want her.
Flush them.
I don't. Flush that in the toilet.
The stepmother especially was like, one called her a filthy person. I don't know if she means actually filthy, but just like a vile
that
human.
That really stuck out to me, too. Yeah.
She was a very filthy person.
And said it was her way, or else you would pay.
And did we pay?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm still paying for it.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with me.
Yeah. So anyway, at this point in the documentary, we start to see the trial starting for Gypsy. One of the people who stands out at this point, I think, is the prosecutor, who like really wants to do the right thing.
Being a prosecutor, the standard is to do what's right and what's just. When you look at the mitigators as well as the background of these individuals as we know it, as well as the facts of the case, this case was not an appropriate first-degree murder case in which to seek the death penalty.
So at this point, we start getting more background information about things that happened in Gypsy's life before the murder. For example, as she was, you know, inevitably growing up and starting to, like, really start to be able to think for herself, she goes to VisionCon.
Which, here's my thing. So she tries to run away. She goes to VisionCon. How was she there if Dee Dee literally won't let go of her hand?
Yeah, there's definitely things we don't know. We do know that, like, Gypsy is, like, growing into, like, a sci-fi nerd.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes to VisionCon and she meets up clearly like an older
like
man.
A middle-aged man who's like, oh, you can come live with me.
I told him vaguely about what was going on at home. And he told me, you know, you just pack your stuff and you can come live with me in Arkansas.
Yes, sure, Gypsy is just now learning to think for herself. But at this point, she should have been anyway because she's probably 18 or 19.
Right.
She still looks and acts like a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And this guy's like, I'll rescue you.
Right.
Come live with me.
And she like runs away to Arkansas to like go be with this guy. But she gets like, Dee Dee finds her within 4 hours.
Yeah. And then she smashes everything. She smashes the computer. She goes on a tear and says, next time I'm going to hit you with the hammer or something.
I mean,
absolutely.
So this is where we start to see Gypsy understanding how fucked she is.
Right.
That like she's finally like at a place where she like understands what's happening, but that she's trapped. And people think that she's sick. She said that the mom has had a lawyer draw up incompetency papers.
Right.
So if she goes to the police, the police are going to be like, sorry, you're crazy,
yeah.
You know?
And social services was sent over a couple times, and Dee Dee was able to manipulate the situation where it's like, well, she has leukemia, and she's slow. Like, I don't know. I mean, you can't believe. I mean, she totally made Gypsy a completely unreliable, sick, crazy, slow person.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to take care of my sick daughter.
Gypsy has essentially fallen through every crack there is in the system. The Greene County Sheriff's deputies came out to the house on an anonymous report that Gypsy was potentially being abused. And they came to the house, they spoke with Dee Dee, and Dee Dee did exactly what she does all the time. She manipulated the police officers, showed them a few things, and they left. And at that point, Gypsy has absolutely nowhere else to turn.
Now we're getting into the meat of the Gypsy and Nicholas relationship, which will baffle me, I think, until the end of my days.
Is it ironic that they met on a Christian dating site?
It's kind of, of course they did. Of course they did. Because of course Dee Dee was probably preaching all this religion as she's torturing her daughter. And I mean, like,
oh, it's Carrie the Musical. That's a musical joke, listeners. Also, just quickly, like, the text messages between them are so, like, young, teenage love, like, Neve and, like, a girl that doesn't exist, awkward.
Here's the thing, and I'm not being judgy, and I'm not being, like, a grammar bitch about it.
Please don't get on her for her grammar. She has a second grade education.
No, I get that. No, it's not her. But it's like, okay, so to be homeschooled, right? Dee Dee would need to have some certification. Like, why wasn't that even at the minimum? Like, is this girl being educated? Why isn't she in school? Like, social services could have done that. Like, did Dee Dee manipulate that too?
Listen, Bouncy BuzzFeed reporter says it. She slipped through every crack she could possibly slip through.
I wasn't going to get on Gypsy for her grammar. I was just saying that, like, it made it occur to me that they, you know, this poor spelling. But I'm like, wait a second. Like, how is the school not even an issue?
While we're on the subject, like, there are definitely moments where I feel like if Gypsy had been raised normally, she'd just be like a fun, funny genius. Like, there are moments where you see her being normal that you're like, oh my God, if this had gone another way and you were just like a normal girl, like, what would you? That is also the tragedy of this.
Oh, right. Absolutely. You know? The what if?
So anyway, she gets in touch with this guy, Nicholas.
Yeah. And they have this They have this very over the top sexual relationship via text from the beginning.
And as it progressed, things got weird.
Because he's into
something called BDSM.
Which she's like, what's that now?
She Googled it. Didn't love it, but loves him.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Though she's never met him.
Right. And decides to take on the submissive role. I mean, then we see the Facebook post, right? Where she's like, I live to serve my master.
Yeah.
She went from not being into it to
you
being
know
like,
that if
you
my
know
daughter
what?
Ever wrote some shit like that, I would kill everybody.
Then there'd be a new true crime podcast to do.
Oh my goodness, but Gypsy gets a warning.
Right, from Nick's ex.
Then his ex had messaged me, and she told me, you know, he's a really bad guy. He thinks he's a vampire, and he's into all this dominant, submissive stuff. And I was thinking, it's just an ex, you know, she's just bad-mouthing him. She doesn't know anything. She's jealous, blah, blah, blah. She was right.
Where I'm like, so this guy has, like, a pretty good dating life.
Right, totally.
There are, like, really lovely single people in this world, but Nick's got, like, two girls.
Hang on, there's one other thing we need to talk about,
Nicholas. What?
Do you want to tell the people what he was once arrested for?
Oh, my God. I can't believe we didn't. Okay. This is another thing I will never, ever, ever understand. Nicholas, I'm sorry. I'm like, my hands are all over the place. I'm gesturing wildly. He was arrested for watching porn and, quote, fondling himself.
For how long?
9 hours.
Where?
In a McDonald's.
I know. 9 hours. I love that. Like in hour one, the manager was like, that's annoying, but we're going to let it slide. Hour two was like a shift change. Hour three, they're like, is that guy still doing that?
Is he stopping to order things? Because you know they're going to kick you out if you're not ordering anything.
Like, what was it about hour nine that made it especially egregious?
Right. And it was just, he was just fondling. Like, he never went for 9 hours, like, to do that one, to not take it to the next level.
It's just 9 hours.
I don't know how, like, who, no one, again, these people are surrounded by people with all of their senses. Like, people had eyes, and not one of those minutes of those 9 hours did a customer say, excuse me, how many customers were like, can we talk about the fondling guy and the porn?
I know.
How does this go on for 9 hours?
And then he gets arrested, he has a knife on him.
Well, of course he does. That just makes total sense.
You don't go masturbate in McDonald's for 9 hours without bringing a knife.
Wasn't masturbating, though. Fondling.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money. But nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So then we find out that Nicholas also has multiple personalities.
Right. That's what he says to Gypsy.
Gypsy, that's another red flag, sweetheart.
But you know what she does?
She creates enough personalities to match them.
So that they all have girlfriends.
He had talked to me one day and he was just like, you know, I would like my other personalities to have a girlfriend. So I made up some individual personalities to match his other personalities.
Kitty was like the little girl personality. Yeah.
Then
Candy.
The slut.
Ruby.
Who was evil.
Can we ask, when does she have time to go to Hot Topic and buy all of these wigs and corsets?
Okay, here's my thought on the wigs. Because I literally have in bold and in red. This girl has a lot of wigs. No, I was like, okay, it makes sense. She, like, people think she has leukemia or cancer. The mom's been shaving her head. She has some wigs.
Excellent point.
One of the wigs was jet black with like red streaks.
Hot Topic.
That does not seem like a wig Dee Dee would have bought for her.
Right. Unless, I don't know. I'm confused. Then I feel like also, I don't know, like, anything anymore.
The sexts, like Gypsy's taking these like super sexy.
Right.
Well lit.
Right. Like standing up.
Yeah. It was kind of crazy, too, because in some of them, like, this is not to be crazy. Like, I'm a full homosexual, everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, she's got breasts that you can see, and you're like, oh, not, like, fully, but you're just like,
yeah.
She is clearly coming into her own sexual identity.
Right. And, of course, as we know, whether you have been held captive and abused for however many years or not, if you're a teenager and everyone's telling you not to feel sexual, guess what?
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to feel more. I mean, it's crazy. Like, don't do this. Don't do this thing that everyone is talking about doing. Don't do it. Right. They're going to be like, well, now I'm going to do it super hard.
And then the craziest thing happens. Where do they decide to rendezvous?
Okay, so Here's the thing about the movie theater. They decide to meet up at the movie theater.
I and my mom was going to go see Cinderella, the live action version of Cinderella. And I was like, this is a perfect time for us to meet. I'll buy your ticket and you come to the movie theater and we'll meet. Like, we're just meeting as new friends and it's going to be perfect.
And I don't know if they were, if her plan was like, I'm going to introduce you to my mom as like this person that I just met in the lobby and now we're good friends. Like, nothing right, made no, any sense. Yeah. Again, here's the thing. They go and have sex in the bathroom.
Now, we only hear Nick's version of this story. So we don't, this is not right. corroborated by Gypsy, but Nick says,
she wanted to have sex with me, so I did.
Okay, she wanted to have sex with you?
Yes.
Wow, did her mom know?
We chipped it from her mom.
Okay. Where did you have sex at in the theater?
It was in a bathroom.
Okay, in a girl's bathroom or boy's bathroom?
She just took me to the boy's bathroom. I didn't have any choice. I went right into the boy's bathroom. I guess she's okay with it.
Okay.
Right. That, again, Dee Dee was not holding Gypsy's hand right. for this minute and yeah. let her go to the bathroom by herself, which, like, I don't think, if someone is in a wheelchair, like, you would just take them to the bathroom.
Was Gypsy in a wheelchair for the movies?
She had, why wouldn't she be?
Oh, God, that's right. That's a detail we do not get in the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But how could, like, why wouldn't she be?
Yeah.
So then they meet, Dee Dee ends up meeting Nick, and she's like, I hate him. What is this creep doing in a live-action Cinderella? And I'm like, well, point Dee Dee. I mean, it is weird that he's there by himself in the the live-action Cinderella movie.
Yeah, alone. And it's like just the three of them, and he's like sitting not with them.
It's very odd.
It is very odd.
And Dee Dee, of course, so not only does she hate him because it's like an outsider
right.
who's coming in and could maybe blow up the whole thing, but also she does have a point. Like, that's a little, like, the who's this weirdo?
Yeah, that's fair.
And now looking back on it, yeah, it is weird. We were the only people at the movies, and he didn't have a kid with him or a girlfriend or nothing. He's just this guy going to see this chick movie.
At this point, like, the murder happens.
Mm-hmm.
And how does it go down?
Well, there's all, it's all over text, which right. is great for the prosecution.
Right.
It's all via text.
Not savvy.
No. So they get in a fight. Dee Dee and Gypsy get in this big fight. And Gypsy, her whole thing is she promises to be better. That's what she always said to her mother. Now she's also in this, like, she's the submissive role in this relationship. So she's constantly being very submissive and reacting to her master and saying she's going to be better or whatever.
Yeah.
And according to Gypsy, Dee Dee went to bed early. This is like another totally like mom manipulative thing. Like, Dee Dee was so hurt by the fight that she just like had to take to the bed and just be done with it and like go to bed early.
And the last thing she ever said to her was,
please don't hurt me.
Crazy. Can I say something kind of shitty here?
Sure.
When Gypsy is recounting that story mm-hmm. to the interviewer in the jail, she's fully sobbing, but there are no tears.
Yeah.
We had just recently gotten into an argument and we had made up and I said I was going to be a good girl.
So I'm like, is she pretending to cry or is she just like crying? I don't know. I don't want to pass any judgment, but it stood out to me that she's like, but there's no tears.
Right. Kind of like how she was so shocked. My mother's dead.
Right.
Right in the beginning of the movie where it's like, so then we get like more about these texts and it's like, yes, sir. I'm going, sir.
He's like, get your ass to the bathroom.
Yeah. So the plan is basically he was going to come through the screen door. She had there was the knife involved. She was going to let him in and he was going to stab her. Like it was a very, there was like no, it wasn't like an onion layer of a plan. It was just like, you're going to come in and stab my mother to death. Cool. Right. Like it was very cut and dry.
Yeah. So Gypsy says that she goes to the bathroom and like puts her hands over her ears and like gets in the fetal position.
Right.
I got kind of in a fetal position and I covered my ears. And I heard my mom wake up and then she sounded startled and there was some noises that I can't make out. And I heard her say my name a couple times.
And then they cut to this video of them in the hotel after
the murder.
Oh my
God, the video is like so creepy.
And they're hysterical laughing. Everything seems to be fine.
Uh-huh. I mean, the only thing I can say about that is that like Gypsy, I mean, she makes a big point about talking about how like she's free and she's walking.
Right.
You know, it's like at that point that you're just like, it's a mind F for the viewer because you feel relief for her.
Right.
You know, like she's walking, she's out in the world, like she's experiencing freedom for the very first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
But then they make a couple dumb mistakes.
Yeah. So they go to Nick's home. And they're like, and Nick's like, hey, so this gypsy, this gypsy woman is going to live with us now.
And the mom's like, cool.
Great.
Yeah.
No questions asked. Except how's your mother? Because they lied and said that the mother, they were homeless and the mother was in a shelter. The mother kicked Gypsy out.
Yeah.
So that was their story. Like, the mother is terrible. But
yeah.
you could just tell the truth. I mean, the truth is, or ask maybe two more questions at least.
Right.
About where you came from, how you met, are you all right, why are you acting like an 11-year-old when you're clearly not, like, right. Just several questions to me, I would think. But hey, I'm not a parent, so I don't know.
They also do another foolish thing.
Right, so the main fool, they suddenly something comes in the mail. There's like a package delivered. And what they do is Nick and Gypsy mailed the knife, aka the murder weapon.
Oh my God.
To Nick's house.
With?
Along with like $5,000 in cash. That
which
they stole
Didi just
from
had
Didi.
Like stuffed in a safe
right.
in her house.
I mean, again, it's like anything with the mail adds it to like a federal offense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you know a lot about the postal system.
I don't know why. They're just, well, I know because Neve, like, you just can't mess with the mail, man. I just think that's like you should know that.
Yeah.
But it just adds a whole other level. It's like if you're like smoking weed or something, or you're like drinking and then you get yourself in a car. It's like, okay, well, now you just added another charge
decade to
it.
Your sentence.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So then now the Facebook post.
Oh, right.
This is really, really hard for me to get through.
For the record, I remember when this happened. I was a gawker. I was like obsessed with gawker.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm a trash person. Like, you had to be a trash human to be obsessed with gawker to the degree that I was. I had a desk job at the time and I would like, I'd refresh gawker like 10 times a night.
Really?
And I remember when this happened.
So from Didi and Gypsy shared a Facebook page because Gypsy could have anything that was hers.
Right.
And there's a post written, according to the cops or whoever, written by Gypsy. And this is where the red flags are. It says, the bitch is dead. That was the Facebook post. And then in the comments, because people are saying, were you hacked? What's going on? Like, are you okay?
Oh, the rest of it was in the comments?
So then she commented and said, this is tough. And I wish you could play the clip, but you can't because no one says it. It's a screenshot.
Ugh.
So I fucking slashed that fat pig and raped her sweet, innocent daughter. Her scream was so fucking loud, LOL.
Now, I may be mistaken, but I remember, and not from the documentary, that there was an actual period of time where they didn't know where Gypsy was, where they actually thought that Gypsy had been kidnapped.
Oh, and this was the actual person?
Yeah, they thought that Gypsy had been kidnapped. I remember reading this,
yeah.
Being like, oh my God, where is this kid? And then they found her and they're like, oh, I remember that. Oh my goodness, I really am having a memory.
It's
of
all
like,
coming back to you?
Yeah, I remember it was like up to the minute. I was following the story, like the entire period of days that it was happening.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it was one day or many days, but I remember like following the story and then like setting a Google alert for it and then being like, oh my God, like the daughter wrote, like it was a mind.
Yeah.
F. Yeah.
Yeah. And then what is weird about that though, is that like once she's arrested, then we cut to this scene of her after she's arrested, she's in prison and she's calling other family members. The baby voice is out of control.
Uh-huh.
She was still in Wisconsin when she called me.
Hey, my sweetie.
Hi.
Yes, baby.
Hi. Oh my God, it's so good to hear your voice.
Uh-huh.
It's so over the top. And
yeah.
She's like, the news is lying. Like, I had nothing to do with it. I don't know what's going on. And then, So now the family's like, oh, of course, like you were. I mean, of course, like,
yeah,
of course. Then they cut to her at the trial and the prosecution's like, evidence, exhibit A, text messages. And right. Even the cousin or whoever is saying this said that like Gypsy turned around and she has this look on her face where she's
that
like,
that was the stepmother.
Yeah. She's like, caught.
Yeah.
I've been caught.
And that's when they showed all the text messaging. And when they said they were presenting that, she turned around and looked at us with fear in her eyes. I guess she didn't think that they were going to pull all of those messages up.
Did you feel lied to?
Yeah, I did.
Because she was lying. The news is lying and this
but,
and
like,
this.
I refuse to acknowledge that she is a thinking like a regular human.
I don't think that at
no,
all.
Like the idea that she was caught and now in her mind she has nobody is so devastating to me because no one has ever taken care of this child ever in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it's just so, the idea, because you see in the documentary, you see her turn. And she just thinks that like everything, she's just lost everything.
Right.
And she says later, she was like, well, I'm just going to kill myself.
Yeah. And I think it was your best friend, the BuzzFeed reporter.
Bouncy BuzzFeed reporter.
Bouncy, who said that she doesn't, like, what is real to her? All right. She understands is manipulation, retaliation, because yeah. That's all her mother did. All she knew was living a life of lies.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's really all she knew. Like, does she know what normal is? Does she know how to even behave in a normal society?
I mean, she even says in the end, she has a quote where she's like,
in so many ways, I don't know what's right, what's wrong. But to say that, yes, I did this, I'm sorry for it. I feel bad for it. It just feels good to be honest.
That's her, like, that's kind of where she ends the documentary. But, like, she's acknowledging that she doesn't know what's right and wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and how could she? I mean,
I mean, in the end, like, I really think that the prosecutor, you know, the prosecutor and the defense attorney sort of get their final say, where the prosecutor's like,
Gypsy Blanchard endured nearly two decades of systematic, purposeful abuse at the hands of her mother for the purpose of fraud. And so by amending to murder in the second degree, we were able to both hold Gypsy Blanchard accountable for the murder, which was not justified nor excusable, but yet account for those mitigating circumstances.
You know, we had to hold her accountable. Second degree murder was right because it meant that we could give her a lesser time and but still hold her accountable for the murder. And her own defense attorney says the same thing. Like,
you know, at the very beginning of this, there was the question of the death penalty on the table. Ultimately, it's the best outcome for her. It's the best outcome for the state of Missouri and ultimately the right thing to do for everybody. I mean, it's a murder. There's nothing we can do about that. So, you know, that has to be dealt with. But ultimately, when you look at the fact that at the end of that 8.5 years, which she's already done a year of that, she'll be 32 years old. Right. She'll be 3 years younger than I am right now. So, I mean, she will actually be able to enjoy just the world.
Should we, like, just talk about, like, the final scene with, like, the dad and his wife?
Yeah. So this is when, I think this is sort of why you have so many mixed feelings about the dad.
Yeah.
The scene, is that right to say?
Yeah. Because the dad finally takes responsibility.
I just want to make sure you know that. If I done anything wrong, I'm sorry, baby.
No.
And Gypsy's like, no, Dad, you're off the hook. Like, I don't blame you at all.
Yeah.
I don't think you did anything wrong. I think it's just Mom was very good at what she was doing. And I think you just was completely in the dark. So, and I don't want you to know I don't blame you for any of it, either of you.
And, you know, of course she's saying that because she's afraid of pushing him away or losing him in any way. And I do think, too, that this is where the stepmom becomes kind of a hero, too. Like, she's just, although the God stuff I could do without, she is like,
look, God pulled you through it.
Yeah.
You know, the devil don't got you, baby.
No.
God got you. And we got you.
But it's like, you know, you can't not think like, well, then where were you? Like, you could have you could have saved her from all of this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I cannot just accept the fact that Dee Dee was just, like, really good at being manipulative.
No.
I can't. That just, like, that won't stand with me. No, like, because that's not
just
happening.
Like, when you're a parent, if you have a child that is that sick, there's just no excuse for not doing your own investigative work to make sure that your child is being properly taken care of.
Yeah. And it's more of a tragedy that the story seemingly ends with Nick and Gypsy going to prison and not any doctors being accountable, not right. any social services, not anything else that also led to this and right. made this situation happen.
You guys, thank you so much for re-enjoying our episode on Mommy, Dead, and Dearest, or like, welcome to new listeners if you haven't heard it before. I mean, it is so, so insane. I cannot get over how insane this episode is.
Yeah, it was one of those things where every 4 seconds I was like, there's no way it gets worse. Nope, it's like Abducted in Plain Sight. Right. There's no way this gets worse. There's no way it gets more horrible. Guess what? I was wrong every single time.
I know. Don't forget, you guys, on the Patreon feed this week, we are dropping the video of our most recent live show, and we're also dropping it in podcast form. If you're not a member of the Patreon family, join right now. You get like 70 episodes. It's a whole other TCO podcast feed.
Yeah, and then next week we're starting Making a Murderer Part 2.
That's right. That's right. And then next week on the regular podcast feed, we're back with the Ted Bundy tapes Part 1 and 2. So we're doing that as one episode.
Yeah.
And then the following week, we're doing a single episode of Parts 3 and 4.
Right.
And you guys, I'm obsessed. I am obsessed with the Ted Bundy tapes. I am fast. I knew nothing about this.
Yeah, I knew like just the basics. But yeah, this deep dive is crazy and terrifying.
We love you guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
He didn't look like anybody's notion of somebody who would tear apart young girls.
My name is Ted Bundy.
I've never spoken to anybody about this. I am looking for an opportunity to tell the story as best I can.
A person of this type chooses his victim for a reason. Possession, control, violence.
There was something unique about Ted's brain. He talked in terms of a voice in his head, and this voice would start saying things about women.
He had very blue eyes. When he really got going, his eyes went absolutely black.
Murder leaving a person of this type hungry, unfulfilled, would also leave him with the obviously irrational belief that that the next time he did it, he would be fulfilled. And the next time he did it, he would be fulfilled. Or the next time he did it, he would be fulfilled.
Theodore Bundy has escaped, suspected of dozens of sex killings in Washington State, Idaho, Utah, and Colorado.
I think things are going to work out. That's about all I can say.
Bundy is acting as his own lawyer.
What is unusual to see is that many of the onlookers are women.
Are you a little scared when you look at him?
He just doesn't look like the type to kill somebody.
Serial killer Theodore Bundy has escaped once again.
One of the FBI's most wanted men.
He was charming, good-looking, smart. Are you sure you have the right guy?
Just a normal individual.
Mama who bore me, mama who